How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. We'll have Predators head coach Andrew Brunette joining the program at 7:30. Preds taking on the Flyers tonight. Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com will be with us from 8 to 9 o'clock talking all things Tennessee Titans. So looking forward to that. Coming up a little bit later in the program, Joe, I'm looking at the NFL rushing leaders. Tony Pollard in seventh right now in the NFL. He's on pace for just over 1,200 yards. Right now he's got 800 yards on the dot rushing through 11 games. 800 yards, four touchdowns for Tony Pollard on the ground. Coming off a really good game against the Texans on Sunday. The three leading rushers in the NFL right now. Saquon Barkley has 1,392 yards through 11 games, which is absurd. Right now he's on pace for like 2,100 yards rushing. Derrick Henry with Baltimore, 1,325 yards, so he's number two through 12 games. Josh Jacobs in Green Bay, 944 yards through 11 games. So, I mean, look, the first two with Barkley and Henry on an incredible pace. There's a big drop-off after that. Jacobs is at three. If you're wondering, Jahmyr Gibbs in Detroit's at four. Hubbard in Carolina's at five, and Kyren Williams in six in L.A. with Pollard being number seven. But you're talking about Saquon, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard in your top seven. And by the way, you throw Aaron Jones in there at number eight and Joe Mixon at nine. So that's six of the top nine that were either free agents, moved to another team, or in Mixon's case, got traded to Houston, that are now on their new teams and are balling out so far this year. Now, again, Saquon and Derek on a little bit of a different level than the rest of them, but Saquon, I mean, it was there for all of us to watch with the hard knock stuff with the Giants in the offseason. I mean, and by the way, after he put up 255 yards or whatever it was the other day, that clip started making the rounds again of the Giants ownership just saying, I'd really hate to see him on Philadelphia. I'm not going to be able to sleep at night if you see that. It's amazing that they moved on for different reasons, like Derrick Henry. I think we all kind of knew that that train was coming to an end here with the Titans. Josh Jacobs was a free agent, gets signed by Green Bay. So these guys that have been good players in the league at that position, we've talked about that position being devalued. They've gone elsewhere. They've gotten, in some cases, pretty good money, and they've immediately been productive in their new spots. What do you make of that? What do you make of kind of the current state of the running back position and how these guys going to their second stop are continuing to be really productive at the top of the league?
Well, I think a couple of things. One, I believe if you go back to last year, I know for sure with Derrick Henry, I said many times, like, Derrick Henry and the Ravens would be incredible, and it has been. But the second choice that I had, I believe I said this many times too, would be the Eagles. And the reason is with both of those schemes and with both of the quarterbacks, if you have a dynamic running back, and these are very different running backs, but they're both great players. These are both. Derrick Henry is going to be in the Hall of Fame. I think we feel pretty confident about that, right? And I think Saquon Barkley is that level of talent too. Now, he has been hurt a lot, and so that's part of the story here with him too. But you're talking about too special, like they are gonna, and they both could be in Canton. Derrick Henry will be, so that's part of it. Is like they're great. Part of it is the scheme of where they went, incredible fits, and then it's different in terms of the Titans. Of course, it was a regime change, which he didn't know even last year when he was. I mean, when he said goodbye to the fans, he didn't know Vrabel was gonna be fired. A lot of people thought he wouldn't be, including me, because Titans went out of their way to make sure everybody knew after Thanksgiving that he wouldn't be
exactly.
But it happened. So that made it even more likely to me that he was going to move on. I think it was likely anyway. So, you know, it was kind of like it's your time. I think with the Giants, it is some bad luck for them because it's the same people. I mean, they – like they should have, you know, whatever, known what they had. I know that they gave him an offer and all that stuff. But for them, he had been hurt, and it's like, you know, what is he going to be? And now the Eagles are taking advantage of this. Just incredible. I mean, he's – to me, well, I think both of them are legitimately at least in the discussion for MVP. But, I mean, right now, Barkley, I mean, I know it's after recency bias, but after that performance the other night, there's a lot more talk about that. So, it's look, it's great for running backs. It's still too bad that running backs, you know, are not getting paid relative to other positions. But here's a great example of you can be a little older, and it's worth giving a second contract to some guys. Now, Derrick Henry's on his third.
Right.
But, like, you know, that position still matters a ton in football, and if you get a great one with some longevity, then it's worth paying them.
Well, it's interesting too because, you know, people were having this conversation about Saquon, and his is a little different because he's had some pretty big injuries in his career. But like Saquon's 27, Josh Jacobs is 26, I believe.
That's wild to me,
and
he just seems older. To
I know,
me, you know,
like it's but. Like, the idea behind the discussion was, yeah, those guys are young, but with the draft being what it is, like, you can go replenish the running back position and you can go get, you know, a 21, 22-year-old, and by the time you're ready to pay them, well, you can just go do the same thing again and go find another running back in the draft and you start to get into this cycle. And that's part of why running back has been devalued is because there are cases. I mean, look, you know, I bring up Barkley, Henry, and Jacobs. Well, Jahmyr Gibbs is fourth, right? Like, the Lions just drafted him. And, by the way, they've got David Montgomery in the fold, too. So, it's a pretty good combo they've got there. But I do wonder, like, if you're looking around the league right now, it was for a while, it was Derrick Henry that was getting all these carries, and he was kind of the bell cow running back. And everybody else did it in different ways. Like, McCaffrey was a good back, but he also was a big part of the passing game. Kamara was a good back. But he's also a big part of the passing game. And these guys can be a part of the passing game. Like, Saquon catches some passes. But, I mean, primarily, he's just getting right after. I mean, he's averaging 6.2 yards a carry on the ground.
That's
like, Josh Jacobs in Green Bay is not a huge part of the passing game. They're just your traditional line it up, turn around, hand it off backs. And I wonder if we're going to see more of that moving forward. We talked about the NFL going in cycles. It's a pretty darn good year for the running back in the NFL right now.
Yeah, that's a good question. And, you know, look, there's a guy, he's not the only one. There's some good backs. And, like, Caleb Johnson from Iowa is a really good player. But, I mean, Ashton Jeanty is going to be, I think, a pretty high pick, and I think he's going to be a star. You look at all of his stuff, I mean, all the metrics, I understand the level of competition. Not the same, but, like, Oregon is a loaded-up NFL defense, and he torched them too. So there's one. I mean, there's guys coming in. And yeah, it's an interesting question of do more teams look at it like, man, one primary dominant back. I mean, everybody's going to have some division of labor there. I mean, the Ravens, I think they have a really good thing going with Justice Hill as the other guy. You know, that's a good, and I think that they're not too predictable with what they do with those guys. But man, there is value if you can get that guy, the guy who wears down the defense and gets in a rhythm. Because running backs will tell you, well, if I get 12 to 14 carries, I'm not going to be at my best. I need 20.
Well, I think, you know, particularly around here with Derrick Henry doing what he did for so long, like Tony Pollard, seventh in the league. On pace for like 1,236 yards, that's a pretty good year, right? And you'll get to the end of it, and Derrick Henry is going to end up with 18 or 1,900 or whatever it is. And it's like, well, you could have had that, but Pollard here has got 12 or 1,300, which by any metric is a pretty good year for a running back. It's just not your Superman like Barkley and Henry are putting up this year.
Yeah, and, you know, again, as we've talked about, with Pollard and Spears, which was the plan, you do have – the versatility in terms of running routes. And that's just – Derrick Henry is not running routes. He'll catch a swing pass. He'll get a screen here and there. but those guys can be more fully into the passing game. However much you value that, that's why some people, I mean, again, Ravens are behind. Derrick Henry is going to stay on the sideline in the fourth quarter. When they're in 2 minutes, he's going to stay on the sidelines. He'll watch the game. Most important part of the game, and this is what it was here too, if you're not ahead and he's not your hammer when you're trying to play four-minute offense, then he's going to stand and watch. You know, with Pollard, those numbers you mentioned, Robbie, if Spears didn't get hurt, I think he would have had less opportunity, and it would have been more of a two-back. And I think they're better off with Pollard being just the main back. He's better.
By the way, on this rushing list, I'm going down a little bit just to see how Washington, like, individually is doing here, because the Titans are playing them Sunday. Yeah, Brian Robinson, 29th on the list at 537. Eckler, 37th at 355. Jaden Daniels, 28th on the list, 556, the leading rusher for the Washington Commanders.
Interesting. The thing is, those guys have been pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, those aren't impressive numbers, but like, when I've watched them play, it's a pretty nice – that's a nice, you know, tandem of kind of complementary styles with Robinson and Eckler. But, yeah, then you throw in – if you have a quarterback who can be a threat – I mean, to me, that's a great situation for a running back, which, I think for Barkley and Henry, we're seeing that play out.
No doubt about it. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We've got more of your thoughts to get to on the running back conversation, on the Titans in general as well. We'll get to some of those next on our text line. Andrew Brunette coming up at 7:30. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Check out this week's Nashville's Best Deal. It's Prince's Hot Chicken, the original and iconic hot chicken joint. Get half off a $25 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Gift card only good for the Tanger Outlets in Antioch and the Side Assembly Food Hall in downtown Nashville. Also, join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs this Sunday for the pregame show, 9:30 to 11:30 a.m., They'll break down the Titans' Week 13 matchup against the Commanders, give you the latest updates before the game. Pre-game show presented by Parma Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon. Andrew Brunette will join us here on the program here in about 10 minutes. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Ron on the text line throwing the question out there. So if Henry or Barkley breaks Eric Dickerson's single-season record, do they deserve MVP? You know, we had a similar conversation a few years ago when Derrick Henry was potentially going to do that. He did get over 2,000 yards, and how that factors into the MVP race. I mean, it always feels like a quarterback is going to win the award, and I would certainly say that Josh Allen is in a pretty good spot to win it right now. Lamar Jackson continues to play well. I mean, you could find your litany of quarterbacks that are going to be involved here. But, I mean, like Saquon or Derrick Henry, if they end up pushing 2,000 yards or certainly surpassing it, then I think there will at least be a conversation about it, where typically there's not. It's just the quarterback.
Yeah, of course. It can't hurt. And as I said to Ron, you know, he's asked like how long has it been. He said, well, it's 1984. I mean, you're talking 40 years now since that record that Eric Dickerson set with the Rams, but it was in 16 games. It is now 17 games. And Ron says, in this day and age, backs can barely get 1,800 with the passing offense. Yeah, I mean, you could look at that both ways too, right? You could look at it like back then, you know, the running game was featured and, you know, defenses were bigger and stronger and built to stop the run, and now – you know, it's a little bit of zagging when people think you're going to zig if you're going to run the ball. And like you talked about, Robbie, it's all cyclical. Ultimately, running the ball is always going to work in the NFL. I mean, and stopping the run is always going to be important in the NFL. Yes, it is much more of a pass-heavy league, so you could be more impressed with that for sure. It's also, you know, you are doing that against defenses that are built to stop the pass now. So however you want to spin that, spin it. I mean, I'm just saying it's not a guarantee. Like, if Barkley or Henry were to break that record, I think that would be a strong comment on their chances to win MVP. But, like, if the Ravens went out and Lamar Jackson is doing ridiculous things, then he's going to get votes for MVP that instead of Derrick Henry, I would think, you know?
I would think so, too.
And it's just, I mean, I'm sorry, but, like, that's the most important position in sports.
Well, like, even the Eagles, like, Jalen Hurts is having a pretty good year. Now, is he going to be in the MVP conversation? I don't know. Like, I guess I could pull up the odds here and see what the MVP looks like. I mean, right now it's what you would think. Josh Allen is number one. Lamar Jackson's at two. Jared Goff's at number three. I will say Saquon's at four right now. So Saquon is at number four in terms of the odds. You keep going down the list, and it's a pretty good ways before you get to Derrick Henry, who's at plus 10,000. He's behind Kyler Murray, Jaden Daniels, Jordan Love, Joe Burrow, Sam Darnold, Jalen Hurts, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes. So Saquon's at four. It's a while before you get to Derrick Henry on that list.
And I bet you that took a leap right off the last game from Saquon, because he was just insane in that game. So, you know, Derrick Henry, all he did was, you know, run for 140 the next day, you know, and help John Harbaugh continue to dominate his little brother. Man, poor Jim.
It's a tough
Jim one. Can't beat his brother, man.
Apparently not.
But, yeah, if Derrick Henry has a 250 and three coming up here, then those odds will probably get better.
It kind of feels like if it keeps going the way it is right now, you know, look, I think also, I mean, I've said this earlier, but raise my hand, I was dead wrong about Buffalo. Like, I thought they'd take a step back this year after they lost Diggs. But Josh Allen and what he's doing, the big kind of signature play he had against Kansas City in that game, and what he's doing with a receiving core that I think what we're starting to see is a little bit better than people thought it was, but also his ability to just carry those guys. Like, if he keeps playing this way, he's going to win the MVP.
He's got a real good chance. I mean, Cooper is a big ad for
no
that receiving core, and Keon Coleman is a good draft pick. Yep. He's been hurt though, so yeah, he's been really, really good, and it's probably his turn. You know,
your boy Jared Goff though, he's in there. Even the five pick game against Houston was not enough to totally derail him in this conversation.
That one's hard. To me, it's like he's got to be insanely dominant statistically and put a five spot on the pick column. You know,
10-1 though, or whatever they are.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. But I think people recognize that they are not nearly as carried by him as the Bills are by Josh Allen, right? Or the Ravens are by Lamar Jackson. And that's even with, again, Derrick Henry's having an incredible season, but Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes carry those teams.
I mean, Mahomes is fifth on the list. I would put him, I think, way further down. I mean, having said that, I realize they're also 10-1.
Yeah, like, it's not his fault that the Chiefs' defense couldn't, you know, was struggling with Bryce Young the other day, right? I mean, he made the plays, but still, his numbers are. Yeah, they've also had some games where the defense is really the better part of their
several
team.
Games. Like yeah, that. Yeah,
you know, and that's just so. I think he's just sort of in there because he's always going to be in there. He's probably going to end up not winning as many as maybe he should in the end, which you could argue was the same thing with Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, his numbers are good. Like, he's completing basically 70% of his passes, 2,600 yards, 7 an attempt, 18 touchdowns, 11 picks. He has thrown a lot of picks this year. That old Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. Taking some chances. He's a gunslinger out there now. Taking chances with the ball.
He's had some weird picks.
Yes.
And I agree with you, Trevor. Ravens-Eagles this weekend. Why is that not flexed?
It's going
to
be awesome.
Prime time. Yep. That's a great. Is that at least a three?
I don't know. Let me
look. If that's a noon game. I mean, they're doing all these weird flexes. They just flex something from a Sunday to a Thursday for later in the season.
It is a 3:25 CBS game.
All right.
Imagine you'll have Tony Romo out there. Jim! You believe this? It's unbelievable.
Oh, my God!
We'll have Predators head coach Andrew Brunette with us coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Preds taking on the Philadelphia Flyers tonight at Bridgestone Arena. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Predators head coach Andrew Brunette. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys. Doing good. Doing good.
Happy early Thanksgiving to you and your family. Big time of year around here.
Yeah, to you guys too. Fun time of year for sure.
Yep, no doubt about
it. Well, real quick, do you like banana pudding?
I love banana pudding.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, love it.
I always knew I could count on
Unbelievable.
Andrew.
Unbelievable. That's a head
of pumpkin. Yeah, it's a head of pumpkin pie. That's I love it. I love banana.
Oh, good stuff.
Banana pudding. Banana cream pie. Yeah, you know.
I shouldn't have asked.
Absolute legend.
We have a lot of arguments on this show about it. I think it's very overrated, but that's cool.
Well, Andrew, you know, obviously not the results you guys were looking for against New Jersey. And we were talking about this earlier on the show. Like Saturday night against Winnipeg, a lot of good things that your group did. And it felt like, to me anyway, they took a step 5-on-5. And just unable to replicate that against New Jersey. And Steven Stamkos was talking about that a little bit on Saturday night, too, in terms of you'll have a good performance, and to this point, you've just been unable to really build on that. So from your perspective, I guess how surprising is it that that's been the case, and what's the process been like for you, the players, and the coaching staff trying to find some way to gain some traction here?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been kind of obviously frustrating process, I think, for everybody. And I think sometimes frustration creeps in, and frustration is kind of ugly at times. Brings out the worst in you. So I think we've kind of gone through this pattern even within games where we've played really well or we look like, you know, what we should look like, or what we feel we would look like for 20 minutes. And then we're disarray for the next 20, and then we're fighting back in the game and kind of lose all your structure in the next 20. And it's kind of been the story of a little bit of our season. And if you look at it, yeah, I thought we played a great game again in Winnipeg. We talked about following it up, that consistency that, you know, we believe, you know, trust is built with doing the same thing over and over, and the consistency in how we play and how we do things and take care of details, et cetera. So we're really having a hard time getting that trust in our game. And just even going into the Jersey game, they're a really good team. You know, obviously I was there a couple years ago, and they've added some really good pieces, and they're as good as we're going to see all year. Nevertheless, we kind of start the game with some sloppy puck play, and you know, we can't get to our game, and then we take a penalty, and then we feed, you know, they're really good power play, and they're skilled guys, and they're a high skilled team, and they felt good for, you know, the first 10 minutes because sort of self-inflicted. So it was really hard for us to get going. Kind of felt like we're getting to our game by the end of the first, and then, you know, we have a mistake early in the second, and then, you know, things snowball, and that's kind of been a little bit like a lot of games this year. And I think as a group we're frustrated. We know, you know, we can get there. I thought the road trip showed signs of a little bit of that consistency. Didn't get all the results we wanted, but it was a little disappointing. And, you know, in saying all that, it was a tough, obviously playing Jersey was tough, and we came off a 13-14 day trip, and you come home for one, you take off and you land in Jersey, and it was a tough one. So we got to regroup. We got to keep building. You know, there's signs. We just need that consistent effort for 60 here. And it's been a battle all year.
So Andrew, with this many veterans and accomplished veterans on the team, why do things snowball like that? Why do things get off track like that with this team?
Well, I think everybody's feeling it, you know, a little bit. I think we, even though you're mentally thought it'd be a little easier and chemistry would come easy, and geez, we're adding these pieces. So if we add these pieces, scoring will come easy. You know, and you're, they're not saying they're not working, but I think your mindset is that we're going to be scoring. It's going to be, like I said, come a lot easier than we thought. But, and then you kind of fall behind the eight ball, and you know, you're 10 games in, you don't have any points or any goals, and you're kind of squeezing it. And I think it's a hard, as a player, it's really hard mentally when you're fighting it a little bit, and you're, I wouldn't say lose your confidence, but it's just, nothing's going your way. And we kind of straighten it out, and we get into a game and we get kind of going. And even with veteran guys, I was one myself, when you're not scoring, when you're supposed to score, it's hard and it's not fun. And you revert to doing some things that maybe aren't really helping you, but you believe they helped you because they've allowed you to score goals your whole life or play your best hockey, not even just the goal scorer. Some of our defensive players, are feeling it too, where they're big minuses. And so I think everybody individually is, you know, struggling a little bit with a little bit of the confidence, and it deviates from your team game. It deviates from your teamwork as a teammate. It's just a real dangerous thing. And it's creeped into a lot of our games, and the frustration's kind of taken over the excitement, enthusiasm for playing, and it makes a lot harder. And it's hard. It's hard as a player when things aren't going your well that you can take a step out and see that. And that's what we're trying to get to. Again, it's been a work in progress, and we'll keep working at it till we figure this out.
So, Andrew, you know, we talked after the game Saturday about the 5-on-5 play taking a pretty significant step forward. What specifically, when you guys are going 5-on-5, do you think really allows you guys to have that success? And how do you get to it and sustain it more often as you move forward?
Yeah, I think when you see us and you know, when we're connected, when you see guys that are close together, we smother teams, we're on top of teams. We seem to have the puck a lot. We're in a territorial kind of game, a little bit like the Winnipeg game, and we've seen signs of it at different games this year. And that to me is just being that the connected part where there's five guys and we're above things and we're close to things, we're close to each other, and then we kind of turn around and come back at you in waves. And we've had trouble sustaining that, you know, for many different reasons, some of them that we just talked about. But yeah, it's been hard to keep that kind of connectivity going through for the 60 minutes. And it's, like I said, it's still work. You see it at signs, and there's signs that you're excited about. But again, just that sustainability has been a challenge for us.
As a coaching staff, you know, what has this been like? Just as you guys are talking through things, obviously you're doing all the things coaches do. You're watching all the video and everything, but I mean, have you spitballed some different ideas to try to get certain guys going or anything, or is it not time to go outside the box? You just have to kind of keep working.
I think we're always spitballing and always talking and trying to find, you know, we're trying to find some chemistry. We're trying to find some continuity with different players. We're individually, we're talking with them. So we're trying all kinds of different things, and you know, we'll keep working at it. And like I said, you see some signs and you get excited, and we hope to see some more signs here going forward. So it's been a grind for sure. I think, you know, talking from even the summer early year, we kind of knew it'd be a little bit of a process, but you always, even it's just human nature. I mean, you know, it's a process, but you always wish it's a little easier. It's been a little harder than I think we all thought too.
So Andrew, you know, from an injury perspective, a health perspective, you know, McCarron has been out the last couple of games, you know, Jeremy Lauzon went down last game. LaRue takes the cross check directly to the face at the end of the game last time out. Just where are you guys from an injury standpoint heading into this one?
Yeah, we'll have a little bit of an update later today. You know, we're in the grind of a season, and we've had a lot of games, like I said, the travel. You know, so lots of things have happened. Yeah, we're in one. I think a lot of teams are very similar this time of year.
So, Andrew, Philip Tomasino, obviously, you know, at the end of last year, you made no bones about it, you know, that he needed to elevate some things. In the end, didn't end up working out. I guess, how would you assess this season for him and maybe how things even look for him moving forward as he moves into a different chapter of his career?
Yeah, I think he came in good shape. I thought he skated really well. You know, we just couldn't really grab traction with him. And he was put in a tough spot where, you know, obviously we're trying to find, a lot of guys are trying to find our games. And I thought, you know, at times you could see it just similar to last year. But I think maturity wise, he's taken a big step. And there's times where you couldn't hold on to it. And like a lot of our guys, we're just all kind of in that same pattern this year. And yeah, so he's going forward. I mean, he's, you know, he always like his offensive instincts. And like I said, he's grown a lot he's matured as a person, just being around him and as a player. And of course, you wish him the best and see what happens. And you just wish, you know, you could have did a little bit more and had a little bit more traction with him. But unfortunately, in our business, that's how it goes sometimes.
Well, Andrew, we're looking forward to the game coming up tonight. Appreciate so much you taking time to be with us on the program this morning. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. Andrew Brunette, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Predators taking on the Philadelphia Flyers tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Got the Flyers tonight, Tampa Bay on Friday at home, and then John Hines and the Minnesota Wild on Saturday on the road. So, 3 games in 4 days coming up here for the Predators. And you heard him kind of mention it there, Joe, going through a little bit of the injury part of this right now with McCarron being out. We'll see what his status looks like. Lauzon went down in the middle of the game the other day, and LaRue took one. I have no idea if LaRue is able to play or not, but a cross check to the face, where Timo Meyer has been suspended one game for it as well. So interested to see who's available and who's not for them tonight in the game.
Gave him the opportunity to break that news on our show. He wouldn't do it.
He didn't do it.
He did say that he likes
banana pudding.
Something
to do with my hatred for, well, maybe that's the problem, because I hate banana pudding.
Yeah, maybe so.
What are you doing, PK? What is
he telling us to wrap it up?
What is PK wearing? Looks like he's like Indiana Jones or something.
It's Paldemort. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad, coming up next. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rexroad.
Like, just stop playing Jared. Jared's so annoying. No disrespect. Huh? No disrespect.
No disrespect. With all due respect. All due respect, you're annoying, Jared.
Just when you're screaming and it's 3 o'clock after my 7-hour day of school, it is the most annoying thing. Number one of my pet peeves. Oh, I could say a lot about Jared, but I'll choose kindness.
I can't help myself if Stillbilly thinks. Thinks if he and I were standing side by side, I would be picked as the hillbilly.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. I don't know that we'll ever top yesterday's Rex Rant with Caroline Rexroad, basically just putting Joe on blast for about 10 consecutive minutes.
Well, she should have disrespected Stilly.
She did, a little bit, but
I'm going to disrespect him. That's great.
Did. Yeah.
With all due respect, I can now say
Stop
anything I want.
Stop talking about Stilly.
I can say anything I want now.
Did you call him Stillbilly?
She did not.
Damn.
A missed opportunity there.
Yeah.
It's still
making the rounds.
Yeah.
It's lasting forever.
By the way, Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com is with us. Hey, Pete.
Good to see you, boys. Good conversation coming in. One thing you didn't mention about Austin Eckler, huge pass receiver. So his total numbers.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of those guys.
And he gets touchdowns, too.
Yeah.
He also got smoked at the end of the game on Sunday, so we'll see what that status looks like.
So I got a grab bag today, a few things. Real quick, I just want to express to the College Football Playoff Committee, you know, Clemson jumps 5 spots last week to 12. Because they beat the Citadel 51-14. So just like Alabama, that Mercer win really, really registered.
Games that shouldn't
that
be scheduled.
Big win over the Citadel gets them 5. It's ridiculous that they're 12. Like, so this is what they've done. They got blown out 34-3 by Georgia, beat a bunch of crappy teams, got smoked at home by Louisville 33-21, and they got lucky and beat Pitt on the road. And, I mean, you know, great run by Klubnik to win that game 24-20, and then they beat the Citadel 12th. It's a joke.
Yep.
Pump up Clemson.
So I also want to address – go ahead, read what you just read to me, Robbie, during the break. I have to deal with this now.
You're doing exactly what your daughter instructed you not to do.
Yeah, I know, but, you know,
you got to defend yourself. Dad, you don't listen.
Can I defend myself?
Well, nobody knows there's anything for you to defend yourself from unless you read this.
He read it to me, so now it's in my brain.
Still, Billy, put it out there. By the way, Barry Trost joining him at 5 o'clock today, so look forward to that. No Jared versus Joe, but between Caroline Rexroad telling us that Joe listens to the end of our segments in the garage – and his horrendous banana pudding take today, I'd like to claim a victory.
When doesn't he claim a victory, by the way? Yeah. All he does is his whole life is claiming
wins.
He also claims that other people are obsessed with his show. I mean, are you serious? If you want to talk about, add up the time of people talking about people, it's not close. Robbie,
he consumes more media than anybody on earth.
But let me just make it clear, because, yes, Caroline brought this up yesterday, that I pick her up from school and she has to listen to Stilly in the car. And, yes, sometimes absolutely, it's good. I like to listen to it. I'm like, go ahead, I'm listening to the end of the segment. So when I get in the car after this show, I listen to Chase and Big Joe. And if I'm in the car in the midday, I listen to DVD because I'm a fan of all of our shows and I support our shows. So it's pretty simple. So when kids get out of school, that's during the 2 to 6 frame when your show is on. You see how that works? Thank you.
It's got to be hard to say.
Well, I think his mental image is you get home and you send all the children inside and you're like, if you guys need me, I'll be out here in the garage.
Now, here's what
he's for hours. Just sitting there for hours.
Here's what he's
like. What did he say?
I'm rewatching The Americans, the fine, fine show.
Great show.
He's kind of like the KGB operatives with like the radio and the earpiece. And he's like, he's doing everything. God bless him. I mean, he hears my podcast after the game. Yeah. He hears like, if John Glennon makes an appearance on AM radio,
it's truly impressive.
With it. He hears everything.
It's pretty impressive. True.
And you know this because you're obsessed with him, which is really what
I'm not
the rant
obsessed
should
with
be,
him.
Right?
He just refers to stuff that's like nobody else on earth has heard.
No, he does have some like bad like Boston radio takes that he's got ready at the Snap of the Finger. One other thing I wanted, since this is just a grab bag today, and we don't have a show tomorrow. We will be back 8 to 11 Friday and Black Friday, though.
But I want to
head off your – I've heard you do this. I heard you do it on your previous show, and I couldn't disagree more. Now, you shouldn't spend a whole show before Thanksgiving talking about your food taste. There's nothing wrong with talking about food the day before Thanksgiving. Like, oh, it's talk radio cliche. Whatever, man. Like you're doing some highfalutin Ivy League radio. It's okay to talk about Thanksgiving food the day before Thanksgiving on a sports talk show.
It's the laziest, most boring thing. If you want to assure people flip to your competition, well, unfortunately, if they flip to your competition, talks about nothing else. So there would be no sports talk radio. There would be no sports talk radio in Nashville that wasn't talking about if you like stuffing or not, if you guys are talking about if you like stuffing
or not.
Do
you like stuffing?
I'm not talking about
food. Answer the question. Do you like stuffing or not?
Yes, I like stuffing.
All
right,
see, you just participated.
To talk about, hey, it's Arbor Day, everyone. Today we're going to talk about our favorite trees. Hey, it's
those guys do what day it is. I like
deciduous
that.
Trees. Awesome.
Yeah, it's so tired and lazy because once you do it, you've done it. And I don't need a reminder this year about your take on banana pudding last year and the year before and the year before.
Well,
and hopefully you're on the radio.
Well, maybe you don't evolve as a human, but you know what? My palate has evolved through my life.
It's the most. What's your favorite Halloween candy? What's the best Christmas present you ever got? What's your best memory of your father? What's your best memory of your mother?
Now we're going to a dark place.
Well, name your holiday and you do shtick on it. It's so bad. It's awful, awful radio. Period.
What a whiner.
That's not whining. That's facts. Come up with better material. You guys are great, except if you fall into that, and then you're crap.
No, now I want to spend the next hour breaking down the different segments of a Thanksgiving meal with you. I'm going to keep directing the conversation to your food takes the rest of the show. This is going to suck for you.
Now we got some echo in here.
We're having some fine barbecue.
Fine barbecue?
Yeah. We've
ordered. Don't do the turkey?
We've ordered barbecue from the fine sponsor of my podcast, and I'll be picking it up. My wife's making macaroni and cheese on top of that, and that's our simple Thanksgiving dinner.
Really?
Now
okay.
People are yelling at you all for not calling it dressing.
No.
Instead of
not calling stuffing dressing?
Yeah, that's a big thing around here.
That's a Southern way to
call it whatever you want, but do it outside the confines of a sports talk show that's talking about something more sophisticated than what we like to eat.
Here we go. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A smorgasbord of rants from Rex Road.
Call the ambulance.
Jumping in there. We will have all things Tennessee Titans coming up with Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. Lots to get into from the Titans' performance against Houston, looking ahead to the Washington game as well. We'll have more of that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.